Hi, it's Jasmine. You know, that girl who did you know what way before the internet ever existed. Join me and my special guest every week as we talk about anything and everything because nothing is too taboo. So punch your ticket and get on board the crazy train with me, Jasmine St. Clair. All aboard!
Welcome to a brand new episode of Crazy Train with Jasmine St. Clair. This week, I decided to delve a little bit more into the mental health issues and the softer side of pro wrestling. So I decided to bring on the perfect poster child for this, one of my favorite wrestlers, obviously, Ken Dixon. And I have Maryland's finest on my podcast today, Mr. Ken Dixon. You are Maryland's finest, I think.
That's debatable. It's up for discussion at least. Well, I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm scrolling through all of your Instagram photos. So Ken Dixon's a pro wrestler, obviously. Can you not tell? And I saw like all the dog photos and everything, all the animals, and obviously a lot of us have a sweet spot for animals. And it's just interesting. Are you involved in animal rescue at all, or what's your whole shtick with that? Or you just like them?
So. My wife and I do our, some of our dogs are rescues. It's something we're really into. They can't speak for themselves, you know, so somebody's got to speak for them. So I try to use my loud mouth and my platform, you know, however big it may be, I try to use that to spread awareness that, you know, it's cool if you want to buy a dog, but maybe consider going this route because there's just as much personality, if not more, in a dog that needs a second home or, you know, a new place to stay. So when I get to do work with, Barks, which is Baltimore Animal Rescue, and, Show Your Soft Side, which is the program that I was doing, like the runway thing that you saw. I love those kind of programs because I get to go out and I get to be around other people who are into the same kind of thing that I am. And it's just a huge network of like-minded people, and it's just a really positive place to be, and all those animals almost always get adopted in that event, so it's really cool to be a part of
you know, having a pet, especially like I like fosters. I like rescue animals. My cats are rescue. I tried to foster a cat once before. It didn't work out because I got so attached and I didn't want to fostering it for it. Mm-hmm. Such an emotional thing because I love it. I love cats. I can't have enough of them. That's why I own AI cats, I guess, on Instagram now with those weird cat AI.
Yes. Hey. So we've considered fostering, but we've always, like, up until recently, we had like four dogs. And then two of my pits have passed within like a year of each other. So now we're down to, I have my bully Lazarus. He's outside now. And my buddy Leo, before he went to Japan, he asked us to look after his dog. So that's how I ended up with another one. It's a Zolo. It's a Mexican hairless. So they're an interesting combo because Lazarus doesn't bark. He just looks, and people are, you know, it scares people away. And Brixton is the Zolo. He's the barker. So they kind of got a little alarm system going on with each other. Like, you know, he's a signal and the other one will come muscle around and look. And I'm really into the fostering idea. I asked people about it and it feels like it would be really heartbreaking. And some of them are, they know what the deal is, you know, and as heartbreaking as it may be to separate, a lot of them told me that they're kind of a part of the process so that when they allow these animals to go, they have a hand in choosing where they go. So there's some peace of mind in knowing that they're going somewhere safe. So like, you know, I can see that being like a silver lining to the heartache of it.
Yeah. When I was dealing with the rescue for my cat, the girl wanted my social media. So she's scrolling through it. She sees like all the wrestling stuff. She sees motorcycles. She's just like everything on it. That's probably the biggest red flag. Then she saw my stuffed animal, my stuffed toy animal. She's like, oh, okay. She really does like animals. She needs a real one. I guess it's like people who can't have kids. They adopt because they own like little cabbage patch babies or something. But anyway, let's talk about your wrestling. How long have you actually been involved in pro wrestling? And by the way, you look like Tom LaRuffa a little bit with your beard. He was an ex-WWE.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that. I had to go and Google him, and I remembered him from the early NXT
he
days.
He's very masculine.
So I broke in 2013. I got home from a contract in Africa. I had some money in my pocket. I was 10 feet tall and bulletproof. You couldn't tell me shit. So I saw a commercial on Facebook for Gilbert had just had a school going on here in Maryland. So I went down there and, you know, they ran me through the ringer and they beat me up a little bit. And I was like, where do I sign? So, you know, they signed me up and this gets to be a funny story, actually, is that there was some other stuff going on with the school at the time. So I didn't know that I show up the next Monday for training and the building is empty. There's nothing in the building. So before there was like memorabilia and there was posters and like banners and flags. And I think you might have had like some wrestling arcade games. And when I get to the building, it's empty. The only thing in the building is a wrestling ring and Axel Rotten laying in the middle.
Was he hungover?
So I'm like, okay. I don't know. he was very clammy. So I don't know. So I'm like, this is how it goes. Okay. So I'll sidebar that because I'm almost a little glad I broke in later in life. I was 27 at the time. So I had, you know, I'd had some life experience and I wasn't as naive as I could have been walking in there at 18. So, I trained with Axel for a few weeks and, he turned me over. So I was kind of working with MCW Pro Wrestling as the local place here in Maryland. And, they didn't have a training center open, but I would go and pay dues and set the ring up and do all that stuff. And they would teach me before the shows. So they opened their school in 2014 and that's where I've been ever since. Had a little break with Ring of Honor 2018 to 2020. But then I broke my neck and the company got bought by someone else. So back to the indies.
Yeah, that's a big injury.
I mean, that's a nutshell. That's the Reader's Digest
version.
It's
kind of the cliff notes, I feel. But the wrestling school, that was the best one when you see Ian Rotten laying there. Like, what did he say to you? Hey, we're not open. Like, what did he do? I just can't see this.
So it was Axel.
Sorry.
It was Axel. Like, there's some stories about Ian that Ian ran a show in Maryland and, you know, duped a bunch of people and never came back. So like, you probably won't see him here again. It was Axel was really cool. When he was on, he was so fucking smart. I'm sorry for cursing. He was so smart. And there are things that I remember him saying now that are making sense years later. But at the time, I didn't understand because I was just breaking in. But he was also, you know, in a kind of a dark place. So, you know, there would be times where he would try to take advantage of me. And I'm like, I mean, it's not really taking advantage of me. I'm just paying you for the lesson. That's what I was getting out of it. Worst case scenario. Axel helped break me in. So, you know, I have some respect for him for helping and, you know, being hard because I see how we have to be now. I'm kind of getting into coaching myself on the back end now, and we can't be as hard on these young guys as they were on us. It's just a lot. I hate to just be typical of just, you know, soft, but we just have to be different. My coach, RJ Meyer, the Bruiser here in Maryland, is, man, I can't say enough good things about him. He passed from leukemia in 2020. He pushed me to a place that I never thought that even existed. So that's my inspiration for bringing these young guys up is you don't know you have it and where I'm going to help you find it. Some people call it bullying. I call it tough love. Like if I didn't like you, I just wouldn't talk to you or I wouldn't teach you. You would get the bare minimum because we don't have to, you know, allow you to compete on our, you know, perform on our events. We just have to teach you how to wrestle. That's it. That's all we're obligated to do. So anything beyond that is what you earn. And that's my, that's kind of my soapbox for wrestling.
I like the whole tough love thing. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, there's so many things we could touch on with that because I feel nowadays, like I was trained by an original Glow Girl. She was from Australia. And I have to tell you, like, I showed up in like 90 degree weather. It was an outdoor ring, and she's teaching me how to do the forward flip. So she'd like be on all fours in the middle. I'd run the ropes and just flip, like hold on to her. One day I decided to be so smart and take a diuretic before I was training. Let me tell you, like, she knew something was up. She's like, come on, now you're wrestling. You're wrestling. Throwing me into the fucking ropes, man. Like, I almost threw up when I was done. But I think it made me a better person somehow, maybe more of a bitch, but it really did make me a better person. Well, I guess it's like growing up in different eras, you know, you have different tolerances to things. Now, one important thing you did to paying your dues, and I feel as though there's a temperature or a climate of some people that aren't really paying their dues. Do you see a difference in the breed of wrestlers coming up now than when you were, or like when you trained?
I do. I see it now. Cause to me, you're never done. You're never done paying your dues. You just maybe elevate the level of the type of dues that you pay. Cause I give back now. I coach and I help. I'm learning how to format the shows. So I'm giving back in that regard. And, you know, I'm kind of helping the young guys put their stuff together, as best I can. So you're never really done, but I do notice there's a little bit of a sense of entitlement with some of the younger guys, guys and girls, where, you know, in my building, we're kind of spoiled in Maryland. We have a very family friendly product. And on the indies, it's rare to draw 500 people. And we draw that on a small, you know, on a smaller event. So like we've had upwards of 1200 people in our building. And that's not like a one-time thing. That's, you know, several times over the course of the years. And it took me like 2.5 years to get onto a position where I could perform in that building solo. And that was after, you know, just being on the floor and being like a managing kind of guy and a security, you know, doing all those things. And these guys just throw them right to it. And like, they're not where they need to be, but it's just a matter of, you know, we got a spot. We got to fill the spot. So like, I want to make sure these guys know that they're so blessed and they're so fortunate because they could be out in some of these other indies where there's 15 people and the ring is not good and it's not safe. So, you know, I can't just be the bitter vet shaking my fist at the crowd, at the cloud about how it was, you know, back in my day, because it's just not, it's not my day anymore. You know, it's not the early 2000s when I broke in or 2010s or whatever. It's 2024. The world is different. So we have to adjust. And, you know, accordingly, but I do think that, there's a lot of effort that is kind of out the window because of people feel a certain kind of way, like they're owed or, you know, that they do the bare minimum and they expect results from the bare minimum. Those kind of guys usually get flushed out, or they have a couple of bad matches and they don't get the feedback from the locker room that they wanted. And they just, you know, they stop showing up or they go work other places, because they, you know, they get more accepted there. People throw around the wrestling is for everybody. It's not, it's for everybody to enjoy, but it's not for everybody to do, in the sense of an in-ring capacity. You know, you could take tickets, or you could set chairs up, or you could record the show, or you could commentate the show. But it's not for everybody. And I think we're getting a little too slim, you know, maybe too soft on the inclusion. But I still think there's a lot of talented kids coming out these days. It's just a matter of having them find it. You know, it just takes a little bit more to define, you know, what they have, you know, what their gifts are.
Yeah, I think so. And I feel as though there's this whole, like, I miss the days, like the old days. I feel as though a lot of younger kids don't want to take the advice from the vets because they'll have, then the raw truth is there. Like, you no longer see, like, the younger wrestler going up to the vet. Excuse me, sir, would you mind watching my match and giving me some feedback afterwards? Like, that's something, I guess I was raised that way, and to introduce yourself when you go into the locker room to everyone. And nowadays, like, you go into a show, I was working on a show a couple of months ago. It's like, I didn't know who this guy was, dude. Like, I had no clue. And he's like walking around. Then he's like, oh, he's on the show. I thought it was part of the ring crew. My bad. So it's just, it's true. It's not you. You were stretching. But I'm just like, where is the fucking manners of you fucktards? You know, it's like.
Want to spice things up in the bedroom? Go to adamandeve.com. And if you'd like to get 50% off of certain items and 10 free gifts, use the code CRAZYTRAIN. Crazy with a K. Go to adamandeve.com and spice things up in the bedroom. And don't forget to use the code CRAZYTRAIN.
This is not your mother's living room or basement. You're in like a professional capacity. Even if it's 20 people or 30 people, you got to bring your best foot forward in and out of the locker room.
Yes.
As far as mental health, do you think that the internet contributes to a lot of the softness with the mental health of a lot of the wrestlers? I know that there are a lot of OnlyFans girls coming up as wrestlers now and all this other crap. And I think the internet plays a huge role in, I don't know, people's mental health in a negative way.
I think the internet, I think I was Matt Hardy that said that the internet is the greatest invention. It's because it's the greatest invention and also the worst invention. Because it gives people a platform, good or bad. There's a platform now that, you know, people were always kind of weird, I think, but now they just have a platform to attract other weird people. And those, you know, were their shitty opinions they just had amongst their friend group. Now their shitty opinions are seen by everybody. But it's also subjective on whose opinion is shitty. What I do think affects people's mental health is the source, seeking validation from the internet. We all do it. I do it. I share my photos, and you know, I make content that so that they can, you know, they can look at it and they can decide if they want to come and see me perform, because that's what it is. The wrestling fans are going to come regardless. I want new people to come. So what am I going to do to attract new people? My gripe with the internet is that they're such a vocal minority, but they have so much power, and the people on the internet don't buy tickets. Very few of them buy tickets. And if they do, they only support really niche products that aren't, you know, that's just because it's their friends, or it's some kind of, you know, inclusive a thing they want to be a part of. But they all have opinions about stuff they don't support. That's why I don't really use Twitter. I kind of post and go. I don't really just have opinions about stuff. My feed, I've started kind of narrowing down what I look at. So it's like, you know, animal videos, and there's some wrestling, and there's some bodybuilding, and some porn, and, you know, regular stuff. Probably, you know, but I don't get lost in those rabbit holes of five stars and these arguments about the tribalism of wrestling. When I was a kid, I watched everything, and it was a struggle. Like, am I going to tape Raw tonight, or am I going to watch Raw and tape Nitro? You know, and I had to, we had one TV in the house, that had the UHF, and I would have to turn it to the thing to do the UHF channels to find ECW. And once I found that, then, oh my goodness. Like, but I took everything I could get, because I was just such a fan. But now it's like, it's so weird that everybody just picks sides. Like, if you don't like it, still watch it. Like, I don't know. Like, do we really, like, we're comparing dicks, and like, it's not like even a contest. It's not a fun contest. I don't know. I think it's just a void for people to shout and to be upset about. So, like, I think that does contribute, because a lot of people will go to the internet for validation, to, you know, they got the, you know, those hits of dopamine, because they get these fucking likes and they get these retweets, and, you know, they get to see those numbers pump up, and it's, it doesn't translate to anything unless you're like a really good influencer and people, you know, you're getting money for your hits. But if you're just a regular, you know, punk ass independent wrestler, like, it doesn't translate to anything except a broken heart for you when you don't reach the numbers you want and you don't get signed because the promoter didn't see your, you know, super 450 donkey flip fuck driver that you did in front of 15 people, nobody cares. Like, I don't know. I just, it is a thing for me. I think people could be doing other things with their time. Like finding hobbies outside of wrestling that could be better for their mental health. It took me a while to do that because I felt like if I wasn't watching wrestling or thinking about wrestling, that I was wasting my time and that I wasn't working as hard as I could be. But I feel like I'm doing my best work now with finding hobbies and spending more time with my family because I can take my head away from it and I can come back to it with fresh eyes rather than just being 24/7 in my phone, which gets me a lot of heat at home. Like, I do social media for a couple of promotions I work for, and, you know, sometimes it's an on-call thing, so it's all get this post out, or, like, you know, this part of the card just changed, so let's switch that. So I'm always on my phone. Anytime I can set it down, I like to, because I can't experience my family from the phone. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think there's a big thing with mental health. And I don't really worry about the OnlyFans girls too much. Because they'll come in and they do their thing and they, you know, they attract people to the show. Some of them, because they look good and the promoters are going to put them on the posters. So now you got hot chicks on the posters, which is going to bring the dudes. And the way I like to work my segments is that I cater to the dudes because it's easy to get women and children. If you're loud and you're doing, you know, making noise at them and you look, you know, decent for the mom. My goal is dad or the dude that came to the show that doesn't want to be there. That he either came with his kids and would rather be doing anything else on a Saturday night. Or the dude that came to see that big titty chick earlier in the night and she fucking sucked. So now Daddy Dixon's got to save the day. And I'm going to do it because my segment is going to make you think something else about what you saw. And I think that's our job, is to make people suspend their disbelief. And that's what I get out of my segments. So that's why I cater to those guys that come to see those girls, because they're not going to get what they want watching those girls because they can't go. You know, they'll go see them in the meet and greet because you know who they are because they do the little hover hand thing. Like, they won't touch you, but they'll, like, stand next to you and, like, you know, they buy their 8x10s and then they go sit in the dark corner again. I don't know. Those are really strong, I think, areas, you know, like mental health is kind of a big deal. Especially when you get into a field like professional wrestling, where it's an entertainment field, where sometimes your ability to provide for yourself or for whoever else is with you rests on the opinions of others.
Yeah, it's fickle. And then, like, you have just, it's tough. Like, even like, I was in an intense class. Like, what was the work? It wasn't a workshop. What was it? It was a conservatory type thing, advanced. So at the end of the term, the teacher gives you notes, right? Cause that's why you're paying. And that's why you're there, to learn, correct? Or so you think.
Yeah.
This girl walks out crying, yeah, like after the first week. She can't come back because they're being honest with you to teach you how to make your craft better and what you can do to do things. And I'll tell you who the girl was, actually. This is so horrible. It was some little girl who thought she was a playmate out of Florida with all these followers and really pretty photos. It's like, bitch, you don't have the talent to even be here, man. So, like, don't waste mommy's and daddy's or your sugar daddy's money. Just go the fuck back home to Florida. Go sit by the beach. Go take your half-naked photos and rub your tanning lotion on, and life's fine. But I think when you put yourself through any type of training or class, you got to understand, you got to have the criticism, because that's the only way you improve. And I like the Absolutely. Fact that you're still out there, like, doing things and wanting to do more things, looking at cat photos and all that. But, and doing hobbies, I agree. I'll go stare at AI cats. People think I'm crazy. My friend said to me, hey, go call your therapist. I'm like, okay. So speaking of therapists, why did my sign just change? I think there's a ghost There's a ghost in my podcast studio.
Whoa.
I don't know what his name is or her name. Spirit, be gone. You don't belong here anymore. So moving right along, what are your thoughts on Tough Enough? Did you ever watch anything? And did you think it was something that was ruining wrestling and the talent that came in?
So I watched the first season as a fan of wrestling before I broke in, and I really liked the first season. The first two, actually, like, I really liked them because they were so new to me. Because the internet hadn't been around for very long, so you didn't really know how. I never knew where these guys came from, like how they were made. Like, this was never something that entered my mind. Like, where do wrestlers come from? I didn't really watch some of the middle ones. I went back and watched the one that when Bob Holly beat that kid up. That's a favorite. Bob Holly's a guy that I've looked up to forever. And even more so after he beat the shit out of me. But I remember him telling me the story of that. And it's like, Brock Lesnar had just broken his neck. And before they send him to get surgery, they send him to do that. And these guys were in there whining about something simple. And he's like, oh, okay, I'll give you something to fucking whine about. And he roughed the kid up. And everybody's all, Bob's a bully, Bob's a bully. And I was like, I want to be like him. So then we actually had a guy that trained with us. His name was Patrick Clark. He was a Velveteen Dream in NXT. He got picked up by Tough Enough. And that was his beginning, you know, his introduction to the NXT and the WWE. I didn't really watch it because I don't know. Just some of that shit I don't watch anymore. But to me, I always thought, like, Tough Enough, if you really wanted some drama and you really wanted to see who was tough enough, you take six indie guys and put them in a house together with one contract on the line. Like, not like six, like, I don't know. I wouldn't say like six inexperienced ones, but like maybe six journeymen that have been at it for five, 10 years. They've got enough skin in the game to be kind of jaded, but they're all like grizzled and they know how to work too. So there's going to be some real games going on, but like, those guys are fucking hungry. They're hungry. So let's put those guys in the house. And you're taking these like goofy athletes off, you know, just out of the street. I can't knock them for picking athletes to sign though, because they're coachable and they're clearly athletes. Whereas independent guys are just kind of, you know, neck beards and cargo shorts off the street that want to do 619s and, you know, pile drivers. And then once you introduce cardio and the aspect of thinking, they just, you know, they take their first bump and they go home. They don't come back. So I like Tough Enough. I liked what it brought to wrestling because it exposed just enough. It didn't tell you why the business works, but it tells you, like, this is part of the selection process and this is how you mentally prepare yourself. I liked that as a fan. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I liked it. I met one person from that show. He was kind of something weird guy, Hawk something or another, some blonde kid, but it was back in like the early 2000s. And he used to go to my gym that I went, used to California when it was around. So it was an interesting experience, like meeting people off of those shows, like in real life, and just seeing the dynamics of how they interact with other human beings. Mind you, I had no clue who the fuck this guy was. I was supposed to know though, because he was on Tough Enough. Do I sound jaded? But I would pay to watch six indie guys in a house who are hungry for the same thing. I'd want to watch like six ornery, like three of them really ornery, then the other three kind of like new that would like do whatever they can to like put themselves over however they could, even if it's like taking out a knee or like Tanya Harding someone.
Yeah, they're like really, really bad politicians, right? So like they're so bad at politicking that you know they're doing it, but they're just really bad at it. Like that kind of like the super carny guys, like that would be entertaining to me. I would watch the fuck out of that.
Yeah, you think it's entertaining? Oh my God. I've dealt with ones like that. It's just like, dude, like go away from me. So I'm like, dude, you can't impress me with anything. I've lived more than 10 people in this room and then some. Don't do this. Well, you know, I was like, dude, fuck. It's like, you want to rip your hair out of your head. Then you see them perform ringside. One of them was a manager at a place I worked a while back. And he's so busy trying to get himself over and not the wrestler. As a manager, your job is not to get yourself over, ever. It's the guy in the ring you care about. You know, yeah, you want to dress sexy and stuff. Sure, of course, because it's like eye candy. But then your whole job is the guy that's in the ring. And I just feel like people forget that. It's this whole novice thing, you know? But that's an interesting take on Tough Enough and doing the indie version. I think we got a show on the way for this, and we could do it at your gym, probably at your wrestling school up there. Yeah, I think that's okay. A good idea. Tell us about the wrestling school. Like, how many days a week do you coach people or train people or both?
So I'm not like a main coach. I'm still trying to work for myself. So I'm not in a place where I can be completely selflessly yet. Cause I've still got some skin in the game. We're open, like we train Tuesdays and Thursdays, 6 to 10, about 20 minutes north of Baltimore. We have our own spot. Everything, we got 3 rings set up in there. We got, 16, 18 and a 20. And our whole setup is there. We got like a promo lab and, you know, there's space, there's a locker room set up for everybody. It's a really good spot. We've really turned it into something really cool. And it's really, I'm really proud of what it is. Especially on the independents where it can get kind of rough. I'm not embarrassed to invite coworkers or friends to watch me perform in there. Because we do it right, I think. Even when we travel, our road setup is really top notch. We don't, like, people have a preconceived notion of what wrestling is. And if it's not the WWE, it's instantly the backyard. So we like to exceed people's expectations as soon as they walk in the door. So we try to create an ambiance of, you know, fun and excitement, but also professionalism, because this is our profession. So, you know, like the ring aprons don't sag. Anywhere I'm booked, I will go out and look at the ring and I will check the ring aprons and I'll tighten the canvas up myself. Because I have to work in it. I check every ring I work in. That's just the way I was brought up. Because before you showed up when I was at XPW, I checked the ring out because I wanted to know if there were any weak spots, like sometimes the padding gets worn and it can get worn out in certain places. I want to know where it is so I don't bump there. I hate sagging ring aprons because it looks so bush league. And if I'm going to have people taking pictures of me and there's going to be video footage of me out there, I don't want that to take away. Like, let them just look at my shitty wrestling and not the bad aprons or, you know, sagging ropes and things like that. That kind of stuff is important to me because we're trying to present a professional product. So why not make every effort you can to do that?
Yeah, it's important. And one thing that you said that's very interesting is you have a promo lab, which I feel a lot of people don't do good promos anymore. Like, it's either something they want to stay away, like whatever. You just have to like go with it and just stay in the work and do it and just do the promo. But I don't think enough people train.
It's hard. Promos can be very difficult.
Really? Yeah, I don't know. I guess it depends.
I do. I have trouble.
So if you're looking for the safest and coolest way to bet online and the most variety, of course, of games and like almost anything you could bet on, stop by betonline.ag because I guarantee you there is something for everyone.
I have trouble with them. Like, I know. So it's always one of these things that, like, in the car on the way there, it's fucking fire. And it's like, it's so good. But when I get there and the camera's rolling, like maybe I'm using too many words. I talk a lot sometimes. So, you know, that's where I get hung up myself. And I see, you know, when we see the other kids, sometimes like they don't have that problem, but you got to pull a character out of them. Or you got to dial them back. Like, so it's good that we have those kind of options. We have those kind of things available to make that a place where that can be done, and it's a safe place, so you're not just getting thrown to the wolves in front of a live crowd. Which is it's going to happen anyway, so you know it's going to happen, but let's try and get you a little bit more prepared. So we have we do birthday parties on the weekends where the kids come in and the birthday kid gets to be a part of the match. Like, we bring him in like an hour before his friends show up, and we teach him, like, depending on how old they are, like, we'll teach him how to do a spear and an RKO and like a Superman punch. And then, like, they become, you know, we got a little story that we typically use for like everybody, unless they've been there a few times, but they become part of the match and they get the big hot tag at the end of the match and they get to hit their moves in front of all their friends. So I say that to say that we do like 3 or 4 of those a day on Saturdays. So like the students that are coming up, their rep count can go through the roof in a matter of months from working. And I feel like working in front of a birthday party where there's only 2 wrestling fans and 35 people who don't give a flying fuck, and they're just there for Billy's birthday. If you can get them to react in one way or the other, then you're not doing too bad. So those are ways that we, you know, try to encourage them to apply what they're learning, because, you know, they can do it there and they can, you know, try new ideas. If they got a different gimmick they want to try, they can throw shit at the wall and see what sticks, and they don't have to do it in a place where some wrestling crowds will eat you alive, you know? So like, if we can soften that blow a little bit and make them more comfortable in the process, then, you know, it's, you know, why not?
Yeah. No, I mean, just make sure the microphone works. We had a microphone issue in Texas, and I was in the middle of doing a very heel promo. I think people still got my point across, because the first question I did ask was, how many of you people are here legally? And I think that kind of perks up ears when you say shit like that. How many of you speak English? So it was very, we still got the point across, because I could like carry my voice. But the very first ECW pay-per-view I worked, I had 0 wrestling training. I had like Spike Dudley in the ring with me with Bubba and Devon showing me how to take a stunner. Then like, okay, you're going to go to the ring at the beginning of the pay-per-view and say this. I'm like, oh, okay. I was so scared. And you could feel like that whole thing when like your stomach's dropping to the ground and your mouth's going dry. It's like, ah, bah, bah, da, 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 da. Ah. It's just the audience. I don't know if they noticed it or not, you know, but I feel like I could have had one of your labs, your promo labs, like a week before, and life would have been awesome. What's the name of your school if people want to look this up and try it out, or the school, I should say?
It is the MCW Pro Wrestling Training Center. It's located in Joppa, Maryland. It's about 20 minutes north of Baltimore. The website is mcwprowrestling.com. We've been open for 25 years, the promotion rather. The school's been open since 2015. We've had some pretty solid talent come out of there. Mickey James, Lita are part of the original version from the early 2000s. But out of this iteration, Jessica Carr, SmackDown referee, Leo Rush, Patrick Clark, the Velveteen Dream, Khan, who's currently on AEW TV.
Wait, Khan?
Action Andretti.
Khan? Like Tony Khan. Oh, Kong. I'm like, Khan. Okay.
Khan, okay. With the dreads and like super jacked up brother. Gates of Agony with Brian Cage and Big Samoan brother. Action Andretti. Who else? Yeah. We've had some pretty good guys coming through, and then there was a bunch of us that were involved with Ring of Honor. We're doing pretty good. So that's mcwprowrestling.com. You can check the website. The dates are on there. I think the next class starts in June. So we don't really do drop-ins. You know what I mean? The class starts.
Yeah. I get that. It's kind of, I guess some places do the drop-ins to see if it's really for you. So you sort of like eliminate and strain out what I call them tourists, you know, the people that are there just,
So we let people come, and we allow people to come through when they have their interview before they sign up. They get to watch and they get to, you know, see how things go, to see if it's something they want to do. And to be honest, the owner tries to talk everybody out of it. That's part of his pitch, is to talk people out of it. Because not everybody is built for it. So if you can, you know, he tries to talk everybody out of it, and some people do actually just not sign up. Because we don't want to take everybody's money. Because, you know, some people are just not built for it. unless they want to come in and be specifically like a referee or a backstage character, you know, type of role. And we do that stuff too. Our production guys bring in like apprentices and they get taught how to create content and stuff like that. So we, you know, that kind of stuff applies to more of like the film and the art students. So we get a nice little mix of people coming through that, you know, want to try and learn the trade.
Yeah, it's not like Rex Kwando and Napoleon Dynamite. Did you watch Napoleon?
I wish it was.
Dude, but yeah, you see, I go home to a woman like Stella. That's my babe. You don't think a man who without any self-discipline and self-respect could land a girl like that. Mm-hmm. I just love that. But, you know, they didn't sign up for it because it was really some harsh training. And like Napoleon, I don't think they had the money, but Napoleon Dynamite got his ass kicked. Or the brother did. Yeah. But hey, he got La Fonda in the end. And the other one hooked up with, what was her name? Tina. No, Tina was the llama. Yes. Who's the girl? I forgot. Anyway.
Tina was the llama.
Yes. Oh, I met the auntie, the woman who played the auntie or the grandma. Whoa. I met her at a restaurant in Beverly Hills. She really has that raspy voice, but I don't think she likes riding on ATVs and sand dunes, unfortunately. So we had no common ground.
Lame.
So what are your upcoming appearances?
I mostly just stay in Maryland. We run so many dates that I don't have to go anywhere else. Unless I want to just kind of fill some time in. I've got Saturday 4:20, in Hollywood, Maryland. It's about an hour east of Washington, DC. And who's there? I'll be teaming with Elias. Who else is on there? Kalisto from the WWE. I think Al Snow's going to be there. Gilbert's going to be floating around. So we got some, you know, there's a little something for everybody there. And Hollywood's it's one of my favorite towns because it's very, for being an hour from DC, it's very old school in terms of wrestling. It's not, they're not very, I'm trying to think, they're not oversaturated down there. They only get wrestling when we come, and we come down there only like 2 or 3 times a year. So when we come down there, they show up and they're loud and they sell beer in the building. So they are ready to go. So that's Saturday the 20th. Sunday the 21st, we're at our home space in Joppa, Maryland. Okay. This is part of our Spring Fever tour.
How fun.
We kicked it off in Frederick, which was in Western Maryland. That was last week, but I was in Minnesota for that one. Sunday the 21st, we're back in Joppa. Who's there? Al Snow will be there again. Kalisto, Khan from AEW will be there. And then we got all our favorites and all that stuff. And then the 27th, I'm not sure what we're doing yet, but me and Enzo are going to team up. We're going to the Eastern Shore of Maryland, which is that little tiny island across the bridge. It's about an hour and a half east of Baltimore. We'll be teaming up there, and we're going to do something. I'm not sure what we're going to do. I don't know. We just have a rap battle or something.
Or a Guido battle.
So we're pretty busy.
We have a Guido battle.
I hope so.
Because that'd be like the Jersey Shore, I think.
Yeah, this is more Bible Belt town, kind of town. So like they'll like him because he's different. I fit in there. I'm God there. They like me because I look like them. Yeah, and then and then we're off. We're taking some time off in May, which is good. Everybody's going on vacation. We're getting ready to get out of school, so we don't really run in May.
Didn't you have XP?
So, you know, we're taking...
Sorry, no, you got XP every June
23rd. Yes, I'm looking forward to that.
That's going
to
be great.
Yeah, we got quite a bit of stuff going on in June. I'll be back at XPW on the 23rd. I had a lot of fun there.
Did you?
I like those kind of crowds. Yeah. Those crowds are rowdy. I've never been really much of a deathmatch wrestling guy. I appreciate it. My favorite match on that card was the three-way for the championship, Slack and Masada and RSP, because I like wrestling. I like a story, and I feel like with all the stuff that they did, there was still a story to be told. I'm also a huge mark for Necro and his, American flag pants. So I was very appreciative of that segment as well. Yeah, I love him. I have a pair, so I'll have to bring mine with me next time.
He won't be there in June. He's in the hospital.
Yeah, I know. That sucks. That man has given his body to the business. So, hope he's doing all right.
Yeah. But I say the summertime are very big for shows, especially where you are in your neck of the woods. It's probably a lot of families doing things, going to Maryland. They want to see you wrestle. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we don't. We try not to oversaturate it because it can get busy. Because we have to worry about the Orioles, and we don't make sure we're not competing against. It's a thing, and it's even worse. It's even worse when football season starts.
Yeah.
Because you can't run up against the Ravens or whatever your local sports, your football team is. You can't run against them because you're never going to win. We have a lot of our Ravens fans are kind of diehard. So like if you try to run against them, you're going to have an empty building. So it's kind of dumb. So, just kind of, we try not to oversaturate. We just try to, we go to different places in Maryland. I think we're going back to Virginia this year as well. We do some stuff in Delaware, sometimes Pennsylvania. So we try to, we're not just there. We try to get out, make sure everybody can get a taste because not everybody's able to travel like that.
I'm glad. And if people, do you have merchandise that people can buy and where do they buy it?
I don't really do the internet. I don't really do like a website because I don't have time for that shit. I sell my stuff at the live events. I do have a Pro Wrestling Tees store, prowrestlingtees.com, Ken Dixon. I got some offensive stuff there. I got some not offensive stuff there. I just got some foam fingers. Like those just came in. I'm pretty excited to see how they do. I haven't had them on the table yet. I'm pretty excited to see how those go. Pins are another one that I've seen that, some people like them. Some people don't. They seem to be, so I have this, Barbie picture of my face. Of course, it's missing the teeth because we got to be anatomically correct. But it says like "I Heart Ken" and it's in the Barbie font. My face is all Barbied up. We got to do Barbie. The bitches love Barbie. We got to do it, and it moves.
Yeah,
it moves.
Does it?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yes. A lot of dudes buy it too. So whatever. I don't discriminate.
NC baby, no comment. No, I think that's a great idea. I'm joking. I can't discriminate either. But anyway, so moving right along. If people want to find you on social media, where do they find you?
They can find me everywhere on social media because I never put my phone down unless I'm at work.
Or with your family at dinner.
At the, yes, most importantly, because she's going to see this. The phone cannot now. It's got to be somewhere else in another room, preferably. At the _ Ken Dixon. It's the same across the board. We don't like to do those different handles because then everybody's got to remember a bunch of different shit, and that's too much. That's where I'm at on social media. You come look at all my shitty content and see my really, really bad takes on everything.
Wow, that's refreshing because I think a bad take is normally a good take and a proper take and a realistic take on things and in life. Because trust me, people who listen to this podcast want a dose of reality and they want the brashness and everything else, or they don't come on here. The live streams, let me tell you, those get wild and out of control, really out of control. The one with me at this Monday with Bolt, it went, in her underwear. She was getting a colonoscopy the next day and was drinking the stuff. You're too young to know about that. But the thing is, then she's like getting up every few minutes. She's in the bathroom. These guys, I didn't know she was in her panties. I'm like, oh God. All right. This is not happening because now they're getting a free show. Moving right along. So you can't, good for them, right?
Sometimes you just got to tune in because you never know what you're going to see, right?
Well, it's always up on the restream after. So thanks to your input on mental health and wrestling. And of course, I appreciate everything you're doing with Animal Rescue. And can you give us the name of the Animal Rescue again, please?
Sure. The one that I work with is called Show Your Soft Side. And they work with, they're like a, more of like an umbrella. So underneath them, they work with all the rescues and they have like a, donation funds set up that, you know, if you need an emergency help, they help distribute like donations of food. And they've got like a lot of celebrities on board to help promote the product. And I'm like the low level local dork that comes on to help out. So, you know, they kind of throw me a bone. I appreciate it. So I'm going to cycle back to the mental health because I didn't really get to touch on it. That talking to someone helps. You know, I will be a little un-PC here and that both my parents are retired Army. And I was always brought up that like feelings are gay and you don't talk about them. You just bury the shit down deep. And it doesn't help to just do that. I thought it was a way to cope and it's not. And I have someone that I get to talk to now. And it's very enlightening. It helps me communicate better with people that I care about and people in general. So that would be my advice, that you're like, nobody's too tough for therapy or to talk to someone, because everything you have to say matters for the most part. Like, you feel your feelings matter, and you know, that's where I'm at on it. I find it extremely valuable, and I hope that people that need someone to talk to do that, because there's nothing wrong with it.
I agree. I really do. Except my therapist fired me, like, realistically, because of the cat photos. Like, I'm not joking. It's okay though. I'll find someone else that can appreciate my cat videos.
Yeah.
The pussy pics. No, thank you very much for that input. And yeah, remember, if you ever need help or there's someone that you feel like you could trust, whether it's, you know, a therapist or even just a close friend, like, reach out. Because if someone truly cares about you, nobody is too busy to pick up the phone and speak to you. And speaking, I feel, is way better than these chatting things that they have for mental health, because that's AI or could be anyone. You always want to go to a trusted individual in your life, whether it's your pastor, whether it's your friend, your mom, your cat, or whatever, a coworker. Any other parting words for the fans of wrestling at all?
Never pass up an opportunity to shut the fuck up.
Okay. And scene.